Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of Best of Five, a weekly FGC talk show where we recap weekend's events, last weekend's, and we'll take a look at next weekend's.
We do more than that.
And that's it.
That's it.
Nothing else. It's just Mike and me, nobody else either. That's not true. But that is Mike. I am a friend. I'm a little bit, dude. I woke up real early. I've been in a car since 9 a.m. I drove my ass the whole way
here. Yeah, you don't have your hair all done up today.
Till 4 p.m. I've been in a car for a long time today.
You got like one of these little like bunny ears coming out the back.
I like that. But I still made it into the studio to be with my compadres. And speaking of compadres, we have Steve, Ace King Offsuit Jurek. He writes for Twitter. And the Tekken World
Thank
Tour.
Thank you. I write for Twitters.
Yep, sure does. And the main event, John, Velociraptor Guerrero. He writes for EventHubs.com. He also tweets. Yeah, dude, center yourself, would you?
Fair warning, if you hear a noise that sounds, in Steve's words, like peeing on the pad in the bottom of a urinal, John's mic's been having some issues.
Although we haven't heard it in a while. But it kind of sounds like this.
I have not heard said sound a single time.
It's because you're the culprit. Shout out to Angel Hunter.
Yes.
Should I get some... are you getting my feet over here, pal? All right, let's get some clap kips going then. Here we go. Good old dog.
That's Judge Dog.
That's Judge Dog there. And also in the studio, although you never get to see him, unless you watch him streaming Soul Calibur when that game comes out here, not too long from now, is
in 2 days,
Elon. I Dude, I didn't even make it into the shot. Throw it up again. All right, that was a bag of chips. Thank you, Elon. Totally worth it. Okay, tonight on the show, Steve, what are we going to talk about?
Things and stuff. We're going over what happened this weekend. We're going to be talking about We're going to be talking about some takes that eclipse all other takes.
They do.
The hottest of eclipse takes.
I am completely out of the loop on whatever this joke is that you guys keep talking about eclipsing. I
was in the 10-minute break in between classes watching replays of Street Fighter V Grand Finals, and I tweeted something that has gotten some love.
Oh, we're just talking about that?
And some backlash.
Let me give you a preview here. This is from, he also writes for Twitter. Mike Schiller, at Das Danke.
We should save this for later.
I'm just setting the table. We'll talk about it later. If you can't respect the level of play the top Street Fighter V players have reached, you're just trying to hate the game. The level of situation and character-specific knowledge implemented at this point completely eclipses anything I've seen in other games. All right, let's go to the recap.
Thank you for that segue. not just a busy weekend, but a busy week in general. We have a couple of things that we're finishing up in the middle of last week. The Dragon Ball online radar event for Western Europe wrapped up the top eight, and Axie took it over Mirko. So Axie is headed to the Saga event of his choice. There is another online radar event, Top 8, tonight at 10 Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and that will be for North America East. ASAP Rocky and Teemo are in that mix. Also, this past week, the Topanga League wrapped up, and Fujimura emerged as champion, going undefeated in the final stage, 5-0, taking it over Fudo.
Dang.
In 5-0? The match, he went 5-0 in sets.
Oh.
Not in games. He beat Fudo 7-3 in the final game, which was what determined the championship, but it was round robin. So Fujimura taking home 1.5 million yen, about 13,500. Not a bad payday for him. Congratulations. Tough weekend or tough run for Gaffro, who's been really impressive, just had a rough go of it in the final stage, but that's the Topanga League.
Fudo got second.
Excellent expert opinion there, John.
I do want to mention that I feel like Fudo's play has gotten better and changed slightly, like almost significantly, since he did win a tournament. I feel like he's really like let loose in his play, and he's much more willing to make like heavier reads, and I felt like he used to buckle down a lot harder in clutch situations, and maybe winning took that off his back. So
you don't think that maybe he made the adjustment prior to winning that tournament?
Maybe he did. Maybe I just hadn't noticed it fast enough. But I feel like he's playing better recently.
Right on.
It just for Fudo, it always is just depend on the phase of the moon that we're in.
Yeah.
Yo, but can I just take a moment to?
I'm a Pisces, by the way.
Appreciate how sharp John looks in his webcam.
Because I bought good ass internet for this new place, and because I'm tired of screwing around with not good ass internet. So good, I'm glad I'm looking better.
You guys might have to rematch now that John has good internet.
Oh, you want to? I have my PS4 right here. I'm in my
office. Well, I didn't bring mine, but shout outs to John getting a new place.
Yay.
Aww. And he's got a beer fridge in his room. Take that, Mom. All right. So where were we, Steve?
We were headed to Red Bull Conquest, the final two qualifiers before the finals and the last chance qualifier next month. They took place in Philly and Phoenix. On the Philadelphia side, PA didn't get it done, but it's Team Northeast that's going to represent Philadelphia. Princess Slim taking Street Fighter, Victim of Ritual getting the job done in Tekken, and Marlin Pie, the electrifying Marlin Pie, taking it over Shine in Guilty Gear. So those are your three headed out to DC. They will be joined by Team Phoenix, who will be composed of Thrasher, Dazal, Dejizal, I can't pronounce that name, I apologize, and Peeling. We almost had one of ours make it third place in that Street Fighter competition.
Velociraptor.
John got third.
Why are you losing to people named Chipmunk Down, John?
Yeah, because Isaac and I play all the damn time. We go back and forth and stuff. And first of all, just shout outs to Thrasher is really all I had to say about the event. Like he was one of the guys in our local scene that kind of came in late in Street Fighter 4. Was okay, but never was really like a high level competitor. And he's really leveled up since. I mean, he plays Mika, so screw him. But for him to like take the whole event, like he showed a really good awareness and situational awareness. And hats off to him. So we're excited to have him repping us in Washington. And no hard feelings or anything. It was a good event.
Wait, can you show those results again?
There's a question in the chat here.
There's a question. Someone was asking, why isn't Velociraptor's name in yellow or green?
Here's what I want to know.
Or orange.
Why are there no letters in front of Velociraptor, huh?
Yeah, someone says there are three.
Could have been B-O-V. Could have been E-H. Because
I won a RANBAT like 4 months ago, and they automatically signed me up for that tournament. So I didn't even log in for Smash GG. That's just what they put in. It's Angelic's fault. That's why.
You know, Danka also never puts in B-O-V when he competes either.
Okay, you don't understand. I've like never signed up for a tournament as Danka in the last like 2 years.
What do you go as? Mike?
No, I like, enter random names. Like, I try to do, like, the Mihei thing. I put in weird names, and they just put me back in as Danka. It's annoying.
Yeah. It's also annoying not to see B.O.V. on there.
Plus, B.O.V. doesn't send me to shit. I went to that tournament on my own.
Also, yeah. Pay for me to go.
Dude, speak up. We would do that in a heartbeat. We've offered that. Steve and I, Mom and Dad here, have said, children, if you'd like us to enter your tournament fee for you, let us know. But you got to put B.O.V. on
there. Just keep going with the recap. Send me to Washington so I can win the North American finals.
When is it? Where is it?
It's next month. It's in Washington.
Are you going to perform better than you did in Street Fighter 4 last week?
I'll just stay home.
Oh, God. With no regard for human life. Can we talk? Speaking of Street Fighter, can we get back to the CPT? There were two events this weekend, another Latin American event. There's just so many in a row. True Salt in Buenos Aires, taken by the Brazilian star HK Dash, winning it over Preda in the grand final to get his first ever CPT win. So congratulations to HK Dash. If we look at the Latin American standings, we see that win is enough to clinch his spot in the regional final with just two events left. He joins Brolinho and Caba as secure in that final eight. The race for that those final spots is going to be very tight. You see four players fighting for two spots, all within 10 points of each other between 7th and 10th. So that is going to be a very close race heading down the stretch.
By the way, clever Steve, we all see what you did. We're impressed.
You should. You should be. As we take a look at the other event that took place this weekend on the CPT, I don't know how big of a deal it is. It's a small event, you know, Southeast Asia Major. Might have heard of it, might not have. The Open Premier was won not by someone in Asia. Well, technically he is Asia, but he's not counted as Asia in terms of CPT. Big Bird getting it done over Tokido in the grand final. Who did any of you guys expect Big Bird to win?
No, not at all. It was awesome to see. And I mean, this single-handedly got him from definitely not going to make Capcom Cup, basically without a premier win, to into Capcom Cup. So, I mean, in this sense, I think they got the CPT right. I think everyone's happy about this. Mm-hmm. Like, a premier of this level should get you into the Capcom Pro Tour. And it's cool to see that he won that and made it in that way. So,
I thought his performance really eclipsed what Tokido was doing in that set that they played.
It did. Tokido lost to two Rashids in grand finals of both tournaments that weekend. It was a rough weekend for him.
So, Steve, back to that recap.
Yeah. That was also the final event for the Asia region. It counts as a ranking event in terms of the Asia leaderboard. So if we look at that, there we go. We see that Fudo and NL got the last two spots. Bonchan got close. Oil King got close as well, but not quite enough to get into that last eight. That kicked it over to Sunday for the Asia Regional Final, and that was won by another Rashid player, Gachi-kun, who took it again over Tokido, getting second at back-to-back events in the same weekend. But Gachi-kun, the path of destruction he was on, he lost one game against Sien, and then that's it. 3-1 over him, 3-0 over Chuan, 3-0 over Fudo, 3-0 over Tokido. This man was on fire on Sunday. He was in qualifying position, but now he is 100% locked in to Capcom Cup. So congratulations to him.
Did I get this right? Because I took a vacation this weekend and I was with family. But did this match not get streamed live? This grand finals match? Because I tried clicking in.
This one, this didn't get streamed. The grand finals of this was cut out by the tournament feed cut out.
That sucks.
Yeah, it did suck.
Yeah.
Okay. There it is. Maybe we can come back to this and we can talk about how good...
I'm glad they played it, though, instead of icing the players for, like, 4 hours. You know, like, it's unfortunate that it didn't get streamed, but I think it was the correct decision to have them play rather than...
And then immediately upload it to the YouTube
channel. Yeah, and then rather than, you know, like, making the players have to wait for the stream.
Okay. We'll come back and talk about this in a second. Yes,
Joe. This might be the right time to kind of like bring this up because it's sort of interesting the way the CPT works. And Steve, you've probably said this like two or three times throughout the year, but it was still news to me because a lot of this stuff just gets lost in the cracks. But with Gachi-kun winning, that was the Asia regional finals, right? So he gets that spot in the Capcom Cup. Of course, Gachi-kun's in like 15th place, so he's already qualified. Now, that doesn't mean that the next person down on the list on the global leaderboards gets a spot. Right. It means that the next Asia representative that's not qualified gets the spot, right? Did I read that right?
Yeah, think of it this way. If you win the regional final, you get that region spot. And if you get in through the global leaderboard, that passes down through other players in your region. mm-hmm. and it goes to the first one who isn't in the field via points.
Who is that right now? Like Mago or
let's take a look at the global leaderboard. And as of now, it is Mago by 2 points over Storm Kubo. So that is going to be interesting to see if either of those guys make it out to another event. Looking at the whole leaderboard, though, we're now up to 18 through the global leaderboard who have clinched positions, plus Mena RD from last year and Angry Bird from the European finals.
So how is Punk not the top North American player then if he's at 27 and the top 26 qualify?
It's top 26 plus Mena RD. So Mena doesn't count.
Okay, so 27. Okay, so Punk is currently in then.
Yes.
Okay.
So he is the last man in as of right now. Okay. And that's also good news for Toy.
Yeah.
Because as long as Punk's in, Toy is the next man up. If, you know, Mago picks up 20 points at Canada Cup and passes Punk, that means Punk's now the first person in. So, or the first person
feel
in.
Great. I've gotten second to a couple of tournaments to Toy. So I'm really rooting for him. So hopefully he makes it.
Hell yeah. And so, while we're at it, Chad, if you guys want us to try to get Toy on, maybe you don't know him, maybe you want to know more about him. He's a great dude, Texas guy. Or Louisiana guy. He's from Texas, I know, but
he's from Louisiana, and now he lives in Texas. Although GGEA just dissipated, so.
But if y'all want us to have him on the show, let us know. We'll gladly bring him on. Back to you, Steve.
Let's keep it in Singapore for Southeast Asian Major. It wasn't just a CPT event; it was pretty much part of every single major fighting game tour, including the Tekken World Tour. This was the final master event of the season. And yeah, the name up top, probably one you expect, John Ding, who's just been the workhorse of the tour, been to more events than anyone else, been killing it. But look at those two names behind. AK from the Philippines and Tejan from India. That was your winner's final.
Wow.
An Asian event that had no Japanese players and no Koreans in winner's finals. That was a bit of a shock. So now we've had two different Indian players get top eight at Asian events this year in Tejan and Lovneet. Also significant here, looking at the bottom half of the top eight, Book picking up those 70 points, which was big for him, and we'll see why in a second. Dimeback getting 45, and that was also significant because if we look at the global standings, Book's points were enough to clinch his spot in the Tekken World Tour Finals. Fergus will almost certainly clinch the second that this week's Tekken World Tour event starts. And then Dimeback, with the points he got, moves into a tie with Super Akuma for that final qualification spot. But the first tiebreaker is the number of points earned at master events. Dimeback has done more than Super Akuma, so Dimeback has that tiebreaker now. They're both going to be at the Berlin event this weekend, so that's going to be the showdown to watch there. Southeast Asian Major was also part of the Arc Revo World Tour, the second stop there, and it was a good day for Japanese players. Fenrich taking it over Dorabang in Central Fiction, Puppy being the only player from outside Japan to make top eight. Looking at Exerd, Daru from Korea taking it over Dogura. So another strong performance from Japan, but not quite enough to get over Daru Ino. And then Koji KOG taking Blaze Blue Tag over Nameless. So those three men will all be headed to the Arc Revo World Tour Finals. And if that wasn't anime enough for you, let's talk about a game that's based on anime. Just straight up anime. Dragon Ball FighterZ, the fifth saga of the World Tour was taken by Kazunoko, who took it over Moke to get his second Dragon Ball. And I want to correct myself here. Because he has won, that doesn't mean that Moke qualifies this way. It means that Kazunoko's spot opens up another last chance qualifier. Okay. So there will now be two players who qualified through the last chance qualifier. I apologize for my mistake last week. Interesting note, though.
I don't know how I feel about that decision, but it's okay. Splitting doesn't really happen anymore, so it's fine. Yeah.
Sonic Fox, he was the center of a little bit of controversy. Didn't play all that well at during the tournament. He made top eight, but didn't make grand finals. That's just the third time he hasn't made grand finals at a major tournament he's entered. All three times, Kazunoko has won. So, little bit of lore there. I don't know if Kazunoko is just his kryptonite or what, but
he's had trouble with Kazunoko. Part of it is that Sonic is clearly, like, since he got his Dragon Ball, it seems like he's been taking, like, tournaments maybe slightly less seriously. He's been playing different characters. Like, he played Beerus, who's considered the worst character in the game this time, to prove that he wasn't, and now a lot of people think he isn't. Some people aren't convinced, but just a little bit of backstory. But, yeah, Kazunoko could be the best. It's definitely between those two right now.
Yeah. That wasn't the only real bit of controversy involving Sonic Fox. We can come back to that after the recap, though. And then if we look at the standings, like I said, for the Dragon Ball Tour, you see four players qualified: Sonic Fox, Kazunoko, Goichi, and Hook Gang God. Like I said, Kazunoko's win opens up a second last chance qualifier at the finals. And one more thing, I wasn't able to find the full result list, so I couldn't make a graphic for it, but congratulations to Hey George. He won the Injustice 2 Liga Latina finals, so he will be in Chicago for next month's Injustice Pro Series finals. And that is it for the recap.
Sweet. what was another bit of controversy, Steve?
It involved the Soul Calibur tournament that went down. Sonic Fox was in that event as well, did pretty well, made top eight. He thought that the event only went to top eight on Saturday. It actually went to top four. So he went out, he left to get dinner or what have you. They tried to run from top eight to top four, and they couldn't find him. So they ran pretty much every other match from top eight to top four, but skipped his and saved it until the next day. So he didn't get disqualified. He did not get put into losers or anything like that. They just moved his match and the top four qualifier that was waiting on that one to the next day. So there were accusations of.
Were people upset about it, though? Yeah. I saw a few Soul Calibur players seemed like that's fine. We kind of need attention drawn to the game. Maybe some were mad. I don't know. I could see why someone would be mad.
Was it determined whether or not he had been properly communicated to him that they weren't going all the way to top four? Because that's not actually, you know, that's not always the case, right? It's usually top eight, leave for the last day.
It was definitely his mistake. It said top four on the schedule.
Was that for sure? Steve, you're the arbiter of truth around here.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at the schedule. It said top four Sunday, top 16 to top four Saturday. He ended up losing to Shen Wan in the grand final. So, but go ahead.
So I'm trying to piece this together and kind of come up with how I would, you know, rule this. And it's like, yeah, I get it. You get a lot more out of, well, first of all, the drama of this happening. Second, it's Sonic Fox, and he's proved himself in many other games over the years, and you want him to compete. But, like, at the same time, if this happened to Joe Schmo, would you treat it the same way, and should you treat it the same way? And I think the answer to the second question is yes. Really interested.
If you to want
treat
top,
it the same way,
if you want top player privilege,
depends on what you value.
You ought to be a top player. He's earned it, Sonic Fox.
I don't know if you earn holding up a tournament. I mean, yeah. If people agree to let, if ever it's one of those, like, you know, like, gentleman's rules things to me. If they agreed to let it happen, I don't think anyone has a problem with letting it happen. If people were against it, I would have hoped that they didn't do it. I don't know the background on how the other players felt.
I mean, I think it's a really slippery slope once you start letting certain things go.
Yeah.
Like publicly and obviously like that, when you're just like, okay, we'll fudge it just this once behind the scenes. Like, that's not good either, but it's a big difference between doing that and then showing the entire world. It's like, well, Sonic Fox gets special treatment because he's Sonic Fox. You can make an argument for why that's beneficial, but, like, I mean, when you come down to the letter of the law, it's like there's a reason why rules are there. And when you start to, like, haze them out, or, you know, in certain situations, it's a real quick and slippery slope that you can go down.
I'd be interested to see what the other five guys said. Sonic on Twitter seemed like, if he had been DQ'd, he wouldn't have freaked out. Like, he didn't seem like he was asking to not. Maybe behind the scenes he was, but it didn't sound like, from what he said, if he had been DQ'd, he would have been mad about it.
I wonder who made the call not to DQ him, and what was that person's reasoning? To me, it's somewhat obvious, right? It's like, you want Sonic Fox playing this game on stream as much as possible, and if he can make the grand finals, even better. Definitely.
So
don't
if you're
DQ
the TO, do you DQ him or not?
I would. I mean, I come players. From the Combo Breaker school, so yeah, I would.
Nefren? And Donka?
I would ask the players, and if, like, even one of them said, we need to go, like, I was expecting to play now, I would DQ him. Hot if they damn. All agree, like, let's wait, then I would be fine with waiting.
We got, like, chaotic, good, neutral, evil, all that whole spectrum right here on the show, huh?
For me, it comes down to you're now setting up a situation where the person who was waiting for one loser's match, or, you know, the person on the loser side in one match and the person on the loser side in the other match are now facing two different situations. One had to get to the same point by going through the marathon in one day, and then the other got an entire extra 24 hours to prepare for that match.
By the way, so. Bamboo EX, I agree with you. Like, they would have to say, like, that would have to be something privately talked about with the tournament organizer for sure. I wouldn't want players to feel bad about saying no.
No one wants to be the one who says they have an issue with it, because everyone's going to look at them funny. That has to be, you know, let's be clear. This is a pre-release tournament. This isn't part of
the Well, that's why I'm more willing to give it leeway, is because it is a pre-release tournament and something like that. This isn't like Evo Grand Finals, you know.
So, guys, we're going to implement something new. We got some advice from an outside consultant who suggested that at the end of each topic, as we discuss it, we should do a mini block grab without the graphic. To transition to the next topic. So, block grab, let Sonic Fox, or don't DQ Sonic Fox, block grab.
Don't DQ, it should be DQ Sonic Fox, block or grab.
I'm trying to keep it to what actually happened, which was he didn't get DQ'd.
If you had to ask me, I would DQ him.
Okay, so that's a grab on the DQ. DQ, block or grab, Steve?
Grab. You know, you can't give. I understand doing somebody a solid, but, you know, players are there to compete, and if you didn't read the rules, that should be on you. So,
John, I block or grab the DQ?
Grab the DQ.
All right.
Can it be a DQ Blizzard? Because I'm kind of hankering for some Oreo cheesecake right now.
Can you imagine what the Sonic Fox Blizzard would be?
Gross. I don't want to.
I'm done.
Part of the sounds that we were hearing earlier over the mic feels like it's nothing to do with that. Anyway, moving on. Steve, what's our next topic? International success? Players from all over are doing well?
Well, I think we should probably talk about Mr. Schiller's tweet, because I feel like this plays into some of that.
Oh, you mean this tweet that I'm going to reread for you guys as a courtesy to the stream audience, in case you're just joining us. Mike Schiller on October 14th, 9:25 a.m. early morning tweet.
I'm not reading it, despite being the one who wrote it, but go ahead.
Don't interrupt me as I read your tweet. If you can't respect the level of play the top SFV players have reached, you're just trying to hate the game. The level of situation and character-specific knowledge implemented at this point completely eclipses anything I've seen in other games.
There's a lot more that happens.
We're going to read the entire thread.
No, don't read
Here
the
we
entire
go.
Thread. That's
you don't have to enjoy playing the game. I haven't in a long time.
That's true.
To recognize there's a lot of skill involved and that the Pro Tour has pushed players farther than they've been pushed before.
That was the main tweet.
I suppose the wording was a bit strong, but I think some are misunderstanding what I was getting at. Street Fighter V is clearly not a comparatively difficult fighting game, and in theory, other games have more tweets. Is possible to implement. Next tweet. I simply think the bar of what you need to be able to do and the knowledge you are required to have to win at top levels has become something unprecedented, parentheses, closest being 20-plus-year-old games like Melee, Street Fighter 3, and Street Fighter 2, close parentheses. This isn't even really because of the game at all. Next tweet. It's because there are important, extremely high-level tournaments every weekend and an incredibly large player base with which to learn and improve at every matchup. Last tweet. In fact, the game being easier in some ways makes the character and situation-specific knowledge more important than ever because it's harder to outclass someone purely in neutral or via movement. Having said knowledge and the eye to implement it is what differentiates the top.
Well, thank you, Efren. I wish you could just talk for me all the time. It would make life easier.
Let's hear some of these responses. Guess you haven't seen many other games, LOL. Let's see. Let's get some real good ones here.
There was a nice one, and you passed that.
We don't care about those. There was one that said, okay, let me go to that thread.
People are really hanging on the part where I said completely eclipses.
Completely eclipses? That's Dawson level reaching.
Which was clearly the opinionated part. Which was that, in my opinion, I think, and basically what this boils down to, my opinion, is not that SF5 is a harder game than any other game. That's clearly not true. I think the opposite. I think it's like the easiest fighting game we've seen at a high level in a very long time at a base level. What I was saying is that because we have a Pro Tour with tournaments where the top players from around the world are flying around and competing every single weekend for tens of thousands of dollars, people have trained harder, they've gotten better, they have better training partners, there's more knowledge coming to them on Twitter. The level of play has gotten so high that if you aren't at the top of your game and you're not optimizing every situation, you're going to start losing. People like Justin can't win every tournament anymore because he hasn't, and he often loses because he doesn't do the top Minot combos. The top players at this point, Fujimura, Sako, Gachi-kun, these are all guys who are like true character specialists, genius god experts of their characters who know everything. That's what you need at this point.
Don't mute him. You're getting some music going here.
Basically,
this whole part of the show is going to be muted in the recap, in the replay.
Basically, what I'm saying is that soccer players are better than lacrosse players. And it's the same thing. Street Fighter V players are better than, I'm sorry, Skullgirls players. Why?
John, because you're more killing this part of the players. Recap. Hey, here we have Bones Did Nothing Wrong says, this dude ever hear of Tekken? Let me see. That's not even worth it.
People are going to be mad. They're mad because I said that the players of their game were worse than Street Fighter players. I'm not even a Street Fighter player. I just feel like Street Fighter players are the best at Street Fighter compared to other people at their own games. And I think it makes perfect sense.
But that actually plays into what I was going to say when I talk about international success. I mean, you look at the results of Tekken, where you had a player from, you know, everyone expects Japan and Korea to be good, but the top eight included a player from the Philippines, a player from India, and a player from Thailand. You have players
from the
Middle East coming up. You've now got two Middle Eastern players in Capcom Cup. This isn't just – there was a Tekken tournament in Pakistan. And I believe Neely and Chanel both lost to Pakistani players this weekend. It's not just happening in Street Fighter. It's happening everywhere.
No, it really is. I agree with that completely. Like the players of every game are getting so goddamn good. Like even at a local level, I used to be able to pick up a game and be the best, you know, like in this part of Texas, which isn't impressive. I'm just saying, like, instantly. I could do very well at tournaments. Now, even locally, if I pick up a new game, I'm going to get my ass kicked because people are getting so good, like, just worldwide at every game.
They've eclipsed you in their ability?
They've completely eclipsed me.
Total eclipse.
It's a total eclipse.
So the argument here is that there is actual skill involved at being good at Street Fighter V versus not. And in fact, to be good at this game, at least at the very top level, and get through all of the, considering how everybody has training wheels on in a certain respect and can not necessarily be consistent, but can steal games away from you. The feat of getting to the end of a tournament consistently is actually quite impressive because you have to beat people that now have training wheels as well, right?
There's a long time ago, there's a point in fighting games where people were really good at the game. They were so good at moving around, they were so good at implementing their mix-ups and combos that they could win without thinking about what the other guy was doing that hard. They just completely outclassed them. Now, if you played versus Rashid and you didn't know how to punish his V-reversal, you'd be in a really tough spot, you know? You need to know that about every character. Every character that you don't know something about, like, you'd probably rather, in Street Fighter V at this point, play versus a top-tier character that beats your character than some guy who plays a shitty character where you don't know the matchup.
You're afraid of Alex, right?
Yeah, because who knows? You need every bit of information at this point to be able to win in this game. And all I said is I think that Street Fighter... Basically, it boils down to, in my opinion, Street Fighter V players are incredible at Street Fighter V, more so than I've seen in other games. And I mentioned other games where I think people are really, like, Melee. Obviously, Melee players are incredible at Melee. Third Strike. But those are really old games. And I was just saying, I think Street Fighters reach that level quickly.
It's what about this? Because so many people compare Street Fighter 4 and 5, obviously. It was, and I think this is 100% the case, it was much easier to be consistent at Street Fighter 4, right? Now, you can argue that Street Fighter 5 is, like I said, is a game with training wheels in some ways.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, and I think very few people would argue that. But as a result, it's extremely hard to be consistent at this game, and yet we see people doing that. And like, there's your entire argument, like, the fact that that's happening, and you know how easy it is to lose. Like, yeah, if you play a first to 10 against someone that's not as good as you, you'll probably beat them in the first to 10. But to 10-0 them, like, that's probably not going to happen. And anyone can lose on any given Sunday in any tournament, right? So to be consistent, what's the argument against that? Of course.
I honestly think it's an innocent thing where people are misreading. Like, I agree, and I felt like what I said wasn't very controversial. I think people are just reading it as me saying that Street Fighter V is the hardest game, which is not what I'm saying. Or that players of other games suck, which is not what I'm saying. I was just saying that Street Fighter V, and as Steve mentioned, like, the level of play has gone up across the board. And the fact that we have people, you know, from every country you can think of winning tournaments and Asian players being won by two guys from the UAE is just incredible. And the level of play has gone up worldwide, and Twitter and Reddit and all these places posting videos have just skyrocketed the level of play. And I would suffice to say that people are way better at fighting games now than they were 5 years ago or 20 years ago. Sorry.
Shouts to Cyanide for the 12-month club sub. Cyanide. There we go. Got a little Daigle clap for you.
Before we go on anywhere else, we also need to thank a couple of other people that have subscribed. Us. It was Richard Wen, himself, Jay, Epistel, Terrible Taco Follow. Thank you for following, though. Ace King Offsuit, I guess.
Who that is.
Pepito Hot Jr., I guess.
Who's that guy?
And Cyanide, we just thank you, so we'll double thank you. So thanks, everybody, for the following and the subbing. Oh, God.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're
welcome.
Interesting little, you know, as we're talking about this, though, David, Ultra David in the chat says that, in my opinion, Street Fighter V is just as consistent as Street Fighter IV. Do you guys agree with that?
That's a really weird and hard thing to argue.
I mean, you'd have to go back and look at the results. So it very much feels to me, especially as a player that I personally had more success in 4 with less effort. I've spent so much more critical thinking time on 5, and yet still it's like I'm afraid of every single player in my pool. And even if I like get three rounds in a row against someone and only need one more round, I am not confident I'll get that last round until the whole thing is said and done. Like, it's very difficult for me in my personal experiences to be consistent at this game. But that might just be my personal experience,
I think,
right?
It's and hard. Not the shared. I mean, my unpopular opinion is that people are so much better at this game, in part because it's so much easier, that it's difficult to even compare. When I played Street Fighter 4, like, until you get to outside of pools, most of the people you are playing are dropping most of their combos. Like, they're literally not completing their entire combo, because combos in that game are hard. In this game, everyone hits their combos basically every time. If someone drops a combo, it's weird. You're like, oh, wow, that was lucky. In Street Fighter 4, someone does light, the medium doesn't link, and then they do a special move constantly. That happens all the time, even at top-level play, because the combos are so hard. So, like, the consistency basis is weird, and it has to come from results, at which point, I don't know, and I don't anything I'd say would be hearsay.
Street Fighter 4 combos are hard. You heard it here first. John?
Yeah, they are hard.
It is. It's easier to be good at 5. It's easier to dole out damage in 5, and therefore, to surpass that, you have to be a step ahead. Like, you can't operate in that same realm because all the games that you won or all the rounds that you won because people dropped their combos is not a thing anymore, right? So, like, you have to ascend up to the next level of play, of mind game, and be ready for the crazy stuff that may be coming at you. Now, I mean, that's only one aspect of the game, but I think it's significant. Yeah.
Now, speaking of international players doing really well,
now,
by all means, what you got?
I was just going to keep saying, like, I think if you were, like, talking a theoretical landscape where, like, people were incredibly good, Street Fighter 4 might be a little more consistent in some. But then again, it depends, because it's like some characters could throw you an unblockable you. Ultra Street Fighter 4 with no hard knockdown, I think, in a theory world, like, the better player wins more easily than in Street Fighter V, whatever this better player is means, because there's less...
The more skilled 50 player.
Yeah, because there's less loopable 50-50s or whatever to turn it into RPS. But I don't know if the game ever got to that point. Anyhow.
Luffy on Twitter says...
Good players win in every fighting game ever, and they never don't win.
Despite US being very advantaged in the CPT, they have the least qualified players.
Luffy, I love Luffy. He always makes funny tweets.
I mean, that's technically not true, because, I mean, if you're comparing
why don't you respond to him, dude? Tweet back at him, Ace.
What an idiot.
If we're comparing the U.S. to other countries, that is true. Now, if we're comparing North America as a region to EU as a region, which includes basically a continent and a half, then sure. But... See, the funny part is, and
hit a nerve.
I love that this happens. I'm not saying this sarcastically. I absolutely love this back and forth banner. But I have never heard anyone say, outside of the first day that it happened, that UK won Evo, that England won Evo.
Mm-hmm.
It's always Europe won Evo. EU won Evo. Everyone wants to give them a hug, even though they're trying to jump out for reasons we're not going to get into. But basically, Europe, it's like Ryder Cup season all the time. You know,
why do they get to gang up?
I don't know, but I love it. I absolutely love it. And let's be real. You know, in terms of the number of tournaments the U.S. has, a large part of CPT coming from a large part of the CPT being based off of Capcom USA's efforts, you know, yeah, more big events are in the U.S., so there's a home field advantage there.
That's going to be our new biggest clip, by the way. Fuck Europe.
Send that to Logan.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, Blocker Grab.
Logan's really nice to me on Twitter, and then every time I meet in person, he's a total dick. He's like, oh, fuck you and all Americans. You know, I'm like,
fuck Europe, Blocker Grab.
Like, oh, grab, yeah, duh.
Fuck Europe, Blocker Grab, Steve.
Block.
Fuck Europe, Blocker Grab, John.
Grab all day. Fuck those guys.
Yeah, got him. All right. We got a lot of grabs in the chat here. Steve is salty. Block or grab.
Because I'm fat.
No, Steve also wants to say fuck Europe. He's just the nice one.
He's all PC
about
it.
I do not want to say that. Europe, I love you guys. That's why I throw you in.
John,
if you don't love America, you can get out.
John, block or grab, Steve is salty.
Oh, grab, absolutely.
All right. So what's our next topic? Hey, did you guys hear that? You should be very excited about this. Marvel versus Capcom 4.
Well, David in the chat, David in the chat said it best on Twitter a few weeks ago, where he was like, if I don't want to see Q in Street Fighter V because I don't want to see what they would do to him in that game. That's how I feel about all Marvel vs. Capcom from this point on. Marvel vs. Capcom Infinite has, like, I've lost complete faith in them to make these games. And unless they can, like, completely prove otherwise in some amazing trailer, I have absolutely no interest in this game. And in fact, I have interest in it not coming out.
Let me ask you this.
MVCI was that much of a failure.
Street Fighter V was... It had a lot of crappy things about it when it first launched. How do you feel about it now versus when it first launched?
Street Fighter V?
After 2.5 years, yeah.
I never hated Street Fighter V. And in fact, the original version of the game
was
fun to me because I liked that Vega was okay. And I enjoyed...
Earlier in this, you said you don't even enjoy it.
I don't enjoy it anymore, but I mean, different? I think it's a fine game.
I think that Capcom...
I don't hate the game.
Like 2 years ago, or even maybe 1 year ago, was so disconnected from what their audience wanted. They were disconnected from 2018, and you can argue, well, that's probably because the disconnect between Capcom USA and Capcom Japan, and Japan calling the shots and being more conservative about their approach to making games and all that stuff. But recently, we've seen a bunch of things that point to the idea that Capcom is catching up to 2018. What they're doing in Street Fighter V, what they're doing with with a lot of their franchises and such, I think that they're catching up and they're listening and they're doing the right things to get their crowd, their audience here in 2018 happy. So that gives me it doesn't for sure say okay, like Capcom, you know, here full leash, do whatever you want, because I don't trust them that much, at least not yet. But I do feel like there's a good chance that if they were to take another run at MVCI or whatever they want to call it when it comes back out, that they would attend to the things that people have been pissed off about. I think there's been enough reworking. I know that, Ryoto Tsujimoto is, if that might that might be totally messed up, but that with him at the helm of fighting games and such, I think things are turning around. So that gives me at least hope. I'm not saying it would be perfect. I'm not saying I necessarily even want it, but it gives me hope.
Danka.
Elon.
When Marvel Infinite came out, you were playing the shit out of it, and you said on this show that you liked it.
I don't think Marvel Infinite's a bad game gameplay-wise. I think it's pretty fun. I just think that you can't, like, the PR disaster and the graphics disaster and the product disaster is just not acceptable. And, like, I completely 100% understand anyone who's like, I'm not going to play that game. And as a fan of the series, it's unfortunate when you're like, no one wants to play your game and it's a laughingstock. And it kind of deserves to be.
Okay,
so,
but
even if the gameplay is fun, and I can defend that, and I don't think people who play Marvel Infinite are stupid, I'm just sad that they basically took a game that I wanted to play and made it a disaster. And I don't want that. I don't want to fall in love with a game and have no one play it again. So I don't want them to make a bad Marvel.
But say they do this grand reopening kind of thing with a. It's not just a fresh coat of paint. But they like redo the visuals, make it a little more comic book looking and they don't run into the issue of having this weird hybrid of realistic and comic-y and finding a bad place on that spectrum, which is what I think happened with, like, you know, the faces and such. Even beyond like Chun-Li and Dante looking like trash, just like the visuals themselves were kind of like in a weird place, right? So they give it a visual overhaul. They give they put the characters that people want in X-Men and Doom and things like that, because hey, Disney bought Fox. That's a real reality right now. You have those two things. Plus, on top of it, you have a gameplay that's actually fun, and maybe they tweak things around a little, you know, dot a few more I's, cross a few more T's. I feel like that game could do just fine.
I don't
feel like there's enough of a bad taste in people's mouths because of Infinite, and it was definitely a bitter run. But at the same time, I think you revamp it, and the thing that people were the most upset about, I think, is the visuals. And if you give that a whole revamping, But you know, you put it on the same engine and everything, and it's essentially that's your fresh coat of paint amongst other things. I think that the game could really work. I think people would receive it.
Here's the problem though. People weren't pissed off just because of Marvel Infinite. It was because
Battle of the
Eggs. They were mad about Infinite. They were mad about Street Fighter, Vanilla Street Fighter V. Mm-hmm. They were mad about Street Fighter Cross Tekken. Capcom has this streak of games launching in states that a lot of people don't like, and then eventually fixing it. But the problem is there are fewer and fewer people now, especially now that there are so many great fighting game options out there, that are willing to invest $40, $60 on a game on the promise that, hey, a year and a half from now, 2 years from now, it's going to be really good, and you'll have all this practice, so you'll be ready to go when everyone's trying to get back in it.
Just treat it like a beta, a beta session. Yeah.
It would be so hard for them to make a game that people were happy with at this point. If they made that fundamentally like awesome remake, it would be amazing. People would like it would be received extremely well, in my opinion. And I think a lot of Dragon Ball players, I think a lot of Street Fighter players, I think a lot of the guys who are halfway between playing any game at all right now would jump on it and it would be a hit. But I mean, that's a lot to fix with MVCI, a lot. Like,
everything. Well, what all do you have to fix? Like visuals, that visuals a lot like of the
almost need to be. I think the game needs to be different enough that it doesn't get compared to MVCI at all. Like, I think it needs to be such a fresh coat of paint.
3v3 or something.
If it's in any way MVCI 0.5, like it's done. Even if it's good, like I just don't think it's like Street Fighter Cross Tekken the update. It may have been a good update, but like no one cares anymore. So it has to be a new game. It has to be like separate. And I think if they are releasing an MVC 4, which I don't believe yet, it would be because they've taken so long off of even talking about MVCI that I think they're trying to leave it behind.
I had heard once, many moons ago, before the release of Infinite, from a reputable source that there was always the plan, like it was already in the works that Disney was going to buy the rights from Fox for the X-Men and all that shit, and all those characters were going to be coming out. I suspect that they're like, hey, put a little polish on this game, and for the next generation, because both Marvel 3 and Infinite had tie-ins to all the Marvel Cinematic Universe and yada, yada, yada. All those characters are represented here from, what's this Chrome Arm guy? And the other guy, Bucky, and
Winter Soldier,
and like all those characters are in there. The X-Men are coming to the Marvel Cinematic Universe. All these characters, I think they want a game that is already close to, or you know, ready to just put a little polish on it. I wouldn't be surprised if they did it.
Here's what you do. Here's the intro. Ready? Thanos appears, and you see all of the MVCI characters in their MVCI forms, and they're all coming out of him, and he snaps his fingers, and they all just disappear. But then a portal to another dimension opens up, and the new MVCI, or the MVC4 characters, same characters come through, and they look different, and it's like a new beginning, and they snap it away, and they make it all a joke. We move forward, and we have ourselves another fight.
Honestly, that would be hilarious. I don't think they have the self-awareness to pull that off, but it would be funny if they did that.
Block and grab on Marvel 4.
Block. I don't believe in him.
Steve?
I'm going to grab.
John?
Wait, is this a grab that we think it's going to happen or that we want it?
Do you want
it? I'm blocking on both, so.
I'm going to grab on both. I'm going to grab.
Hey, wasn't that our question of the day, Steve?
It was. What started all of this was Vergaben, who has leaked other games before, other fighting games, recently put out some leaked information for Smash Ultimate, and almost all of that was spot on. So he came out earlier this week and said that Marvel and Capcom are starting to work together for a reboot of Marvel Infinite. That it's in the early stages, so you shouldn't expect to see anything in the very near future, but that it would be called Marvel versus Capcom 4 to try and distance itself from Infinite, and that the catalyst for this was Combo Fiend making the leap from Capcom over to Marvel and working on convincing both sides that, yeah, this is something that's worth pursuing. So if it happens, you have him to thank.
If Combo Fiend saves Marvel, that would be a cool timeline. But
that would be amazing.
So we took to Twitter to ask you, if it's going to happen, what would you like to see in an updated or a new Marvel versus Capcom game? Super Joe Monday, who does a lot of work with our Street Fighter, he said, in part, to take Capcom's latest statement that they want to leverage old IP. Perhaps we'll get a Capcom versus Capcom game where it pulls from their deep catalog of characters. Something like a Capcom version of Fighters Mega Mix. Let them get weird with it. I'm all in favor of fighting games getting weird with it. Dylan Billings said that Marvel Infinite is an amazing skeleton for a game. Take all that story mode budget and use it to fill out the cast of characters. Then just have fun with the interactions. I want to see dozens of team-up supers like Captain and Bucky have in Infinite.
Yeah, that would be popular.
Yeah. Nine-tailed SSJ Sage says he wants to see Capcom care about their game again. You can tell from how Infinite's gameplay was fire, but everything else about the presentation was trash that they gave up after a little while and only did the bare minimum so that they could scrape by. Kind of like him in high school.
I appreciate that.
Joey B29 wants graphics tweets and a diverse cast. Infinite tried too hard to shove the Marvel Marvel Cinematic Universe down their throats, knowing full well that the X-Men and some Fantastic Four characters make it for us as fans. T-Bell wants to see Yipes be a part of the in-game commentary. That would be hilarious. Get a 200-plus combo in here. Damn! I would cry. That's also the worst IFC Yipes impersonation ever hear.
But I appreciate the effort.
B-plus for effort, maybe. Air Dash Club wants to see support to groups and individuals who continue to push Infinite throughout Marvel and Capcom silence. I'm guessing that's going to be I played Marvel Infinite since vanilla, and all I got is this lousy t-shirt. And then QM Apool says jack shit because it's never going to happen. You pessimist.
Speaking of jack shit,
why would this happen? I'm trying to figure out how this makes any sense. They just created like one of the most catastrophic failures of a video game I've ever remembered. Like, this was like crazy level failure. Like pure meme in the FGC.
It was bad.
Like a pure, like any positive you've taken out of that game other than like, you know, people liking it is like made up out of thin air.
Mm.
How do you decide that warrants another game?
What do you mean it's made up out of thin air? I mean, there are plenty of positives, aren't there?
I
only play it. Yeah, the gameplay is who is it? Maximilian says it's his favorite fighting game, I think, right now. Or at least
I meant like outside of like the game, but I meant the reception to the game. Like,
yeah,
just the
sure.
reception.
But like that's valid that people got upset about Chun-Li's face and things like that. Like, yeah, that's part of the mix. Like, you have to dot those kind of I's and cross those kind of T's. But, like, when you're sitting down to play a fighting game, yeah, you care about the characters. They're not just functions. Yeah, you want them to look good. But at the end of the day, it's like, dude, how fun the game is a huge thing. And I think Marvel hit that. I think that it has a foundation that you can still build on. I really do.
I hope you're right.
Fix those other things. I mean, because it would be good for the FGC, too, you know?
It feels like that Infinite and... Street Fighter Arcade Edition are on opposite ends of the spectrum. You have in Infinite, you have hardcore fans who love the gameplay, love the netcode, and hate everything else about the game. And you have on the other side, hardcore fans who like everything about Street Fighter V except for the gameplay and netcode. So imagine if you could somehow combine the two and get the best of both worlds?
No, you just end up with the Chun-Li Ken's face.
It's going to be so tough. That's kind of what I'm afraid of. It's really hard to make a liked fighting game nowadays. If you think about back in the day, you could make a pretty game and people liked it pretty much no matter how well it played. You could make a game with a ton of characters that had ripped sprites from other games and almost no new sprites that played like a total clusterfuck. But if people found it fun, they liked it, and now they think of it as a great game in the past. Obviously, I'm referring to Marvel 2. Now your game has to look good. It has to play good. It has to be balanced. It has to be this, this, and that. And if you're Capcom, it's times 1,000 because you got a target on your back. So it's very hard to make a good game at this point. Very, very hard.
But Capcom's got a ton of money now because of Monster Hunter. I mean, they made...
But I've heard that argument before, but how does that translate to... So let's put more into fighting games.
That's what I'm saying. I don't understand why that would translate to
it's
that.
It's a decision that they would have to make, but, I mean, like, do you abandon franchise like MVC? You know? I mean,
they
maybe.
Haven't.
Maybe
they've
the
done a good
yes,
job not abandoning things for a long time, so maybe they will. I guess saying I hope they don't is wrong. I hope they do, and it's amazing. But I just don't see it.
All right, guys, let's move on to another topic. Steve, is there an update on the infiltration investigation?
No, there is not.
How many days so far?
If my counting is correct, we are on day 24 of the infiltration investigation.
And he wasn't at SEAM or anything like
he
that,
wasn't?
Right? No. Right? I know, I'm asking.
He was registered in advance. He did not compete. So. Still waiting.
Well, they don't have really let long to figure that out. Like, I think it'll be a bad look if he just shows up to Capcom Cup, right? Like,
hey, guys. What's going on? It's me.
And it's like, there's no statement. So I don't know.
Okay. Well, we'll keep our ear to
the... I've got Panda Global's Twitter up. So if something gets announced in the next 20 minutes or so, I will be here to break it.
Cool. Okay. Any other thoughts on that?
Nope.
I hope there's some complication that's keeping this held up, because I don't understand if they had all the information, why I don't know. I've already said my piece on this, so.
Hey, Die by Sword gifted some subs, so shout outs.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate you, man.
Your money is going towards John going to tournaments and not putting BOV in front of his name.
Which term did you want to go to, John? The regional
finals?
The
North American regional finals.
Where is it and when is it?
Washington, and it's sometime in November.
Well,
it's
I want to go to all the tournaments overseas that are the furthest away from the U.S.
To play Dragon Ball?
To play Skullgirls.
All right. Hey, guys. It's the end of an era. Esports is leaving the fighting game community behind, officially. Echo Fox continues to... shed players, Steve.
We talked about last week how Echo Fox released Theo, Punk, and Scar from their ranks, and that releasing has continued throughout this week. On Thursday, both members of the Tekken squad, JDCR and Saint, announced their departures from Echo Fox. JDCR said, quote, "Echo Fox and I have parted ways. I'm grateful for what they've done for me. These past 2 years, I've traveled the world, experienced new things, and I learned more about what it means to be a fighting gamer. It was the greatest feeling in the world. Thanks, everyone, for your support." A few minutes later, Saint went to Twitter and said, "As of today, I'm no longer sponsored by Echo Fox. Though it hurts to write this, I understand the team's decision to move forward. I'll always remember how it felt to wear those colors proudly, living my pro gamer dream. The last 2 years have been a blessing I'll never forget. Thank you, Echo Fox." And then Sunday, Stephen McMoore, a.k.a. Boken, a.k.a. The Translator, if you watched SCR a couple years ago. He took to Twitter and said, "I am very sad to announce that I am no longer with Echo Fox as their FGC division manager. We may have parted ways, but I am very happy about all the experience they gave me, and I wish them the best of luck in the future. What a long road." So three more members of the FGC team gone, and now rumors that Momochi and Choco Blanca are gone, because when the first wave of cuts were announced last week, those two disappeared from the site. They were added a few hours later. But if you look at the Echo Fox Street Fighter team website now, both Choco Blanca and Momochi are off of that site. So
If you go to Momochi's Twitter page, it still says Echo Fox, and he's got all the branding and the header and all that business.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's an issue.
I mean,
this has been happening in other esports teams. It seems to have been, like, a big time for change, just as a thing. I know, like, they weren't nearly as big a team, but GGA completely disbanded, let go of everyone. I've heard in some other esports similar stuff's been going on. So it seems like...
Well, what I heard was, now, so we didn't talk about UIU. I understand that the fighting game manager for UIU as well.
So he announced that his departure. And that may be for other reasons.
Correct.
He didn't expand
it. So this might just be isolated to Echo Fox. And to that effect, what I heard was that there are shareholder complications with their parent company, Vision Venture Partners, the people that are basically putting the money into Echo Fox, giving it to Rick Fox, presumably, to fund this team. They have issues with the way the team and some other decisions are being managed. So we'll see if that is the isolated incident. It seems that the timing is weird. We talked about that last week, because there's, you know, we're at the end of the season. There's still opportunities for these names to win tournaments, whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, that brought up an interesting thing that someone I was talking to earlier this week, I don't want to mention their name because they were, I don't know if they want to be dragged into this, but they brought up an interesting point. I mean, Saint and JDCR specifically, they're both qualified for the Tekken World Tour Finals. They weren't scheduled to go to Berlin Tekken Clash, as far as I know, nor were they scheduled to go to Canada Cup, which were the last two events. So they literally did not have to send them out anywhere except for they didn't even have to send them out to the Tekken World Tour Finals because those flights are paid for. So it would have cost...
Those guys are salaried, though, so I don't know if their contract was already up.
So whatever salary, you know, it just would not have... It would not have been, at least at first glance, a very expensive move to keep them on through at least December to get them some representation at this world championship. So it's kind of puzzling to me in that regard. But
when Echo Fox kind of busted out or broke into the FGC rather and picked up Jay Wong and Tokido and Momochi, and like that was like a moment. And I don't think anybody in the FGC was like, oh, this is going to pay off, you know, immediately, right? And I think Echo Fox knew that as well. This was an investment, and with that move, everyone was like, whoa, that's a big investment. Like, probably bigger than you're going to see much return on in any time soon. But I mean, maybe Fox wasn't as keen on that or something. But like, I'm not totally surprised it would happen like this, given like the FGC is growing, absolutely. But to that extent, like you're moving so much money around, sponsoring that many players and doing this much. And I mean, obviously I don't know the specifics on the numbers, but this isn't a huge surprise to me. It feels like, yeah, they bit off an inappropriately big bite, considering just the status of the FGC in esports right now. I still think we'll get there, but it's going to take some time.
I don't.
And
I don't think FGC will ever get there.
No?
Why would it?
Why not?
How would it?
I mean, the growth that it's made thus far, I mean,
you don't think it's stagnated in any way, shape, or form? I think we were, maybe Evo keeps getting bigger and bigger numbers, but that's kind of like an outlier. I'm not convinced that the numbers on your average streams in the CPT are any better than they were in years prior. Yeah, maybe Tekken and Dragon Ball are making splashes, but are they still?
They're still growing. Both of those games are still doing well. I don't think that you're necessarily going to see that that monstrous growth that we had in 2016, where you had 5,000 people coming out to Evo. But, you know, those events are still growing. You look at Combo Breaker, those numbers continue to go up, even if Street Fighter by itself doesn't, you know, and that's the case at a bunch of other events where you don't have this big one, and however that one game goes, so does everything else. You now have three marquee games in Street Fighter V, Tekken 7, and Dragon Ball FighterZ that can carry events. And you, so that growth is there. It's just not necessarily in one column. It's more spread out.
Hey, John, what I really meant, and somebody here in the chat, Atmosphere VG mentioned it, is that if you're like whoever these investors, these venture capitalist dudes that are funding Equifax, and you look at a spreadsheet of esports titles, FGC is like a pimple on the butt of League of Legends,
right?
I agree. And yeah, that's why I think they're cutting them. Now, still on the roster.
And League of Legends players will tell you that game's dying. That's like literally where esports is gone.
But I mean, here's the thing. You can, comparatively speaking, how much does it cost to get into Overwatch League now? 20
it's like,
million?
It's like $20 million.
Yeah, base yeah. base is $10 million for a non-competitive scene. Like, I think that's how much it was to get the spot here this first season in some of the Texas regions. But in New York, I think it went upwards of 20, 40, something like that million, just because it was so competitive to get that spot.
What about, you know, this rumored Call of Duty League? You know, there are the cost of entering other esports scenes, the mature scenes, are so high for basically any company that entering the FGC and becoming, you know, the marquee player is, relatively speaking, peanuts. I mean, when they made their big splash here, when they signed, you know, Saint and JDCR and Sonic Fox and Justin Wong, how much money does that set them back? You know, they might not necessarily get that level of return, but there's some value in being a known company in that community, being able to market to that community for a fraction of the cost compared to what you'd have to do to get any sort of return in Overwatch or League or Dota or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see less and less sponsorship of fighting games and fighting game players, and more of whatever's hot, whether it's the Fortnites, the Blackout, Call of Duty Blackout style. Isn't that what it's called, right? The new...
I think it's Black Ops, right?
No, obviously the game is
Black Ops. Blackout is the Fortnite
mode. Thank you, fellow kids. Whatever's hot is where the money's going to go.
Yeah, but okay, and I agree. And Street Fighter is like that pimple compared to the mountain that is, you know, like League of Legends or maybe not League of Legends, Overwatch and you know, Fortnite and whatnot. But what happens when the next wave of fighting games come out? Like, look how much growth happened with Street Fighter 4. Look what happened with Street Fighter 5 and the huge boom that we were all ready to have with the 5,000 plus.
Comparatively speaking, all that impressive.
No. And we won't be compare yourself to the big dogs, you know, like, sure. But the fact that it's still continuing to grow, it might never reach that level. But I think that the FGC has not grown to as big as it's going to get. And then it's like it hasn't reached the top of the mountain and started climbing down the other side. And who knows what's in store? Like, Capcom and the other developers are learning left and right. We're seeing more guest characters and like with Dojo Mode, the idea of bringing people together as a community within these things. And you know, once they figure out how to do microtransactions and loot boxes and maybe new models, it's like there's a lot of space to grow still. And it's like if you're going to constantly compare it to like, well, it's not Fortnite. It's like, no, it's not Fortnite. But maybe they take a page out of Fortnite's book and they grow.
What I mean is it's not the big... It's not the hot game.
No, it's not. And ironically, I think the easiest comparison to make, if esports ever get, and probably will get, to where regular sports are,
is something like the UFC or boxing, where on a regular basis it's not especially popular, but maybe the FGC will be able to have title matches or something like that that are niche and popular.
Yeah, we might end up on ESPN too, you know, and that's eventually, be the
but no, FGC will never be close, I don't think, anytime soon or probably ever. I agree with that. And
even if this rumored League of Fighters ever comes out,
I think they've missed the boat.
That would help, but I think it's me. I agree. I mean, League is like already like it would need to be Fortnite fighters now.
Yeah,
or, but or Black Ops fighters.
It's like
Just Dance Dance Revolution though?
Pretty well. Dance Dance Revolution is more popular than Street Fighter.
Hey, just bringing it back to all these player announcements. What do y'all think of this? Friend of the show, we love this guy, Marn. Saying, I get mad when players are like, thank you for being a great team and being so good to me, even though you cut my contract short and left me jobless, but it's cool, thanks. Like, wait.
I mean, if that was the, I mean, a lot of people just write stuff because they see other people write stuff. There's one thing to be civil. I mean, depending on, I mean, obviously if your contract ends and they don't sign you, it's good to be civil. If someone really fucks you over, I probably wouldn't thank them. I don't know. It seems like common sense to me. But yeah,
It's like you can be mad and still be thankful, like when everything happened with Dot Esports getting spun off and the uncertainty about that. I was sad. I was a little mad, but I was also grateful for the opportunity because, you know, the only reason I had something to be sad about losing was because they gave it to me in the first place. Yeah. So I think there's, you know, it's not necessarily just being nice and covering your bases. You know, a lot of the times that's legitimate gratitude.
Yeah, and Marn also thrives off of being a dick. You know, there's like a lot of different ways to skin a cat. He's found success in having that, you know, rough edge attitude, and that's entertaining, and that has its own appeal. But a lot of people just want to be, you know, play by the book and be professional about it. And that's why they do that. And I don't think it takes a genius to realize that that's why they're doing it that way. But yeah, I mean, I see him. It's like, let's keep things real. It's sure. But he's also a dick. So.
But yeah, I think the people who are going to continue to be sponsored are the ones who are sponsored right now. I think if you're not an actual fighting game, like legend or extremely popular name, you're probably quote unquote worthless to a sponsor right
okay,
now.
Okay, so let's.
And being good isn't enough. You have to literally be one of the top players for a sponsor to get any sort of fiscal gain out of you.
To that point, right? So let's look at the remaining
Sonic
roster
Fox
here.
Is worth fiscal
okay,
gain.
Okay, well, time out. So you have Sonic Fox, he's Injustice, and presumably the next Mortal Kombat, but you also have Killsage. Does Killsage stick around, yes or no?
If for now, he's a new pickup. He's really good at Dragon Ball, but he's definitely not like
the name.
He does
not have that footprint.
He's not. He doesn't have a footprint. Like, I mean, I don't know.
Okay, so he's gone. Injustice 2 or eventually Mortal Kombat, I guess, what is it, 11?
Still Sonic Fox.
Sonic Fox, he's on there. Street Fighter, they have Justin Wong and Tokido.
Those are obviously legends of fighting games. Yeah, those are
okay,
guys.
Smash Brothers, they have Mewtwo
Sonic
King.
Sonic Fox is also a gay furry, by the way. Like, there's a, like, Kotaku.
Wait,
just
what?
Nobody forgot like, that.
That's true.
That guy is marketable, right? Like, you don't get rid of Sonic Fox. By
what
the way,
are your Steve, sources on this? What are your sources on this?
We had this conversation before. I'm getting deja vu right now. It might just be the end of the beer.
Well, let me just run out this this roster here. So Mewtwo King, who only plays Melee, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, but he's like, I mean, he has like a jilly, he has like 100,000 Twitter followers. You know, he's a big deal.
And then MK Leo, my boy from Mexico. He plays.
I think MK Leo is like reasonable. He's like.
Because he's international a little bit?
He's international. He's like, at this point, the best or second best player of his game. The new Smash is coming out, and Smash is obviously a popular game. It makes sense to keep your premier new Smash player.
But
yeah, they cut the fat of the team to almost solely people who are like complete legend status outside of maybe to Killsage.
Which makes a lot more sense. If they did this kind of a thing 2 years ago or whenever when Echo Fox did their big like acquisition, then that would make a lot more sense to me. Like, okay, yeah, you put some money in, you're probably still going to lose a bit of it. But the fact that they took like everybody that was good was it was pretty clear that that's too much considering where the FGC is right now in esports. So in my opinion, they just went back to where it should be given where we are.
Yeah, and I mean, people are acting like a lot of times this is a strategic decision on the part of companies, and it sounds almost cruel, right? Because they're giving people a livelihood and stripping it away. But people do this and then they find out what's working for them and what's making money and then they get rid of what's not. You know, that's part
classic.
Of the deal.
Sure. Especially yeah, like in this
that could have been what this was. Yeah. It may not be that they failed. It may be that their plan was to overreach.
Well, they did it. Guys, you're Rick Fox. Blocker grab on fighting games. Sponsorships.
I mean, the sad answer is that I don't. I think they have the ones they should have, and I think most they're not really missing anyone. So there you go.
That's not a block or a grab, Steve. You're Rick Fox, block or grab on sponsoring fighting game players.
I'm still grabbing. I still think there's value to do it. You don't necessarily. You have to think about how you sponsor because it's so hard to get a return. But I do think there's room for big players to have some success. So I'm going to grab.
John, block or grab on your Rick Fox. Do you sponsor fighting game players?
There's a hierarchy of esports titles. Fighting games are not near the top of that hierarchy. That doesn't mean that they can't grow, and that doesn't mean that there isn't appropriate amounts of investment to be put and to be made back. Like, maybe you're not making billions, but you could be making, you know, a little bit less, but you're still in the positive. So yes, absolutely. You still do fighting game sponsorships. You just don't do them in the same degree that you're doing Fortnite and whatnot.
Put in one can of Chef Boyardee, get out too.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap the show there. You've been watching Best of Five. Check out somebody. Manowar made Man at Arms made the Soul Edge swords, Soul Calibur swords. Isn't that neat? Fast forward here to the end so you can see the finished product. Stick around or not on our channel.
That looks cool as hell.
Looks real sick. Look, you even got Geralt in there.
That doesn't look as cool.
They should have done Ivy. And they should have got Stormy Daniels. And with that, we should end the show.
Topical.
Tonight on Ultra Chen, is the bubble bursting in the fighting game community? We've been talking about it. They're going to take it to the next level. Results from Southeast Asia Majors, Buenos Aires, X Street Battle, etc. 5-on-5 matchup and Marvel vs. Capcom 4 rumors. David loving Street Fighter 5 again, etc. It's probably the tweet. Brought him around.
What can
the
I
soul
say?
Is about to burn on the stage of history, etc., etc. All that and more on Ultra
Chen. Well, I feel like our show is an echo chamber because everyone agreed with me here, and David agreed with me in our chat, and like it sounded civil. But then, like you got into Twitter, and everyone hates me. So, I need more haters in the chat. Recruit your hater friends to our chat.
Elon, could you do me one favor, real quick?
Could
you pull up? Go back into the recap graphics and pull up the open premiere. Results
thank
for
you
CPT
talk
should
trash.
Be
get
07
more in here
CPT.
To talk trash.
There you go.
What is this?
Hey, could someone point out who made top 8?
All the people on the screen.
Itigale.
Yeah. Zangief.
Who did he use?
I don't know.
Was probably it? Was it Abigail?
I believe it was Abigail.
So you're
so
saying.
Guess what?
Then what we should do.
Well, our stupid chat that I hate never sends their Chun-Li pictures with
yeah,
the Chun-Li
man.
Costumes I give them.
Stupid chat that I hate. Hey,
that's
people
how we
that
get
pay
those
the
subscribers,
bill.
My friend.
Are you trying to do a super fast raffle?
We'll do it next week. We'll play on this because we might be giving away something other than just Chun-Li costumes next week.
All right. Guys, you've been watching Best of Five. It's a weekly FGC fighting game talk show, and Elon wants to say something.
Thursday at midnight when Soul Calibur releases, I'm going to hijack the channel and stream some of it.
So. Hell yeah.
Hey.
Probably won't have any competition. So cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch us next week. I'm a friend. This is Mike. That's Steve, Ace King Offsuit, your rest for the Tekken World Tour. And on Twitter, you can get all the schedules for your events. And John Velociraptor Guerrero, he writes for EventHubs.com. Who's on the podcast this week?
Oh, yeah, who is?
I like that. I like that intro voice.
Were you asking? Or I'm just like, just soft up in your voice.
Who's on the podcast this week?
It's just Catalyst, Dream King, and myself talking about changes for next season.
Can't wait.
And your mom.